everyone. Good to see so many here and a full house today. We're continuing the Gospel of Mark, but it just happens to be coming to these chapters at the right time. So I'm going to start, you can see the theme of my message, He's Alive. And we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 15 and going on to chapter 16. So verse 42, it was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took the body down, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. We're going to continue in a moment or two from Mark. And this, of course, is Easter Sunday. And I want to get to the exciting part of the story, but I just want to make one or two comments about what we've just read a moment or two ago. First of all, he died. He definitely died. Sometimes victims were left to suffer for 2 or 3 days on the cross, at crucifixion. And so Pilate was surprised when they came and told them that Jesus was already dead. And he checked with the centurion just to make so. And if you remember the story not recorded in this gospel, the centurion confirmed that was the case. A soldier had already pierced the side of Jesus and outpoured blood and water. And those which are medical will know that that proved that death had taken place. So Jesus was dead. And number two, he was buried. It says that Joseph of Arimathea boldly approached Pilate. Sometimes bodies were left on the cross just to rot and just to be eaten by birds. It wasn't normal practice that everybody that died on the cross was actually buried. This was why it was such a horrific and terrible death for the Jews, who placed a lot of importance on an important burial. So Joseph boldly goes to Pilate and asks for the body. And we're told that he was buried, he was given permission, and Jesus was buried, both to fulfill Scripture. So Paul, a little bit later on, I'll come back to Mark in a moment or two, he says this is the good news, we are saved if you hold firmly to the word I've preached to you. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. Some people question it. He died for our sins. According to Scripture, he was buried and he was raised again on the third day. That is the gospel message. That is the good news which we proclaim today. Without any resurrection, without any death, there could be no resurrection. But where there was death and burial, we also see there was a resurrection too. And that's the good bit of the story which we want to get to today. So chapter 16, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Do you just pick up? There was no expectation of resurrection, As far as they were concerned, that body was still behind that stone, and how are they going to get to the body? But when they looked, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. Remember, we looked at the story of Peter before, how he denied him, and now he gets a special mention. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. We sang earlier on today, this is the most important day in history. Not today, 2,000 years ago, Easter Day, the first Easter Sunday, is the most important day in history. Everything hangs around this truth of resurrection and is dependent on it. If somehow you could disprove the resurrection, then our faith crumbles into a fairy tale. But rather than disprove scholars and lawyers and theologians, some who were atheists before they started found evidence so completely convincing that even though they were unbelievers before, having looked at all the evidence, they've ended up as convinced believers. This is the gospel, this is the good news which we proclaim. Jesus died for our sins, all our wrongs, everything which has ever happened in my life before and which is going to happen in the future. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried and Jesus rose again. Hallelujah. Notice in the story, though, just the lack of expectation and belief, which for me makes this story so much more plausible. It never occurred to the disciples to steal the body. It seems that the authorities had more faith in resurrection than the disciples had. They weren't expecting him to rise again. They never thought they would even think about stealing the body. This, for them, was the end of 3 years of exhilarating an experience with Jesus. And the girls, the women, they were simply going to embalm the body, showing respect to their dead friend and rabbi. And they get there, and they're frightened, they're confused, they're shocked. The seal has gone, the stone has been moved away, the soldiers had gone. What was going on? Where was he? And there was this white man, or one of the Gospels says two white men, sitting there, dressed in white. And they say, you were looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who's crucified. He's not here. He has risen. The women, they were totally confused and frightened. They were trembling with fear and they ran away. Other accounts tell us they ran to the disciples and they didn't believe either because they weren't expecting resurrection. For them, everything had just come crashing down. But one of the other accounts said, but two disciples, they came to the tomb, Peter being among them. And they went into the tomb. This is where Jackie and I saw what might be the tomb, or certainly one like it in Israel. And they went into the tomb, and it said, and when they saw the grave clothes folded, they remembered and believed. It was the first time that they began to believe that this could actually be true. Jesus, their Messiah and Savior, was not just dead, but had risen again. Praise the Lord. And of course, they saw the evidence. They saw Jesus. He appeared to 500 different individuals at different times. And on one occasion, Jesus said, you're blessed because you've seen and you believe. How blessed are those who've not seen and yet believe? And that's for the number of Christians through the centuries. 2,000 years later, we are among those who've not seen and believed. You see, Paul mentions, you know, that 500 people saw him at one time. This wasn't wishful thinking. This wasn't a ghost. This was a risen human being. This was Jesus resurrected from the dead. And I just want to mention three things why the resurrection of Jesus is so important. And I haven't sort of, they're all coming up together, never mind. Number one, it proves Jesus said he was. He is who he said he was. Jesus made the most remarkable claims in history, greater than anyone else in their right mind has ever made. He claimed to forgive sins, and they wanted to stone him, because even that declaration meant that he was aligning himself with God. God was the only one that could forgive sins. He claimed that he and God were one, and they wanted to stone him, because of that declaration. He claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, And they wanted to crucify him. He said he would die and rise from the dead. He said he was the only way to the Father. What a statement to make. He was saying, it's not every religion leads to God. There is only one way, and it's through me. He claimed to be God. And again, they wanted to stone him. And to be honest, church, if he had just died and decayed in a grave, like everyone else who was famous and had gone before him, well, we'd have nothing to worry about. But he didn't. He came back to life, just as he said he would. And by being raised from the dead, God was affirming all of those things which Jesus said about himself. You know, people get hung up on all sorts of reasons why faith and why Christianity is implausible and unbelievable. But, you know, I know some of the arguments. You know, and I may not understand personally how creation and evolution or the arguments for those. I may not understand how the universe came into existence. I understand they're starting that thing again under Switzerland to try to work some more stuff out. I may not understand how the God of the Old Testament is so different from the God of the New Testament, and yet they're the same. I may not be able to give you satisfactory answers for the place of suffering in our world today. I may not fully be able to explain to you how a loving God could let his son die such a barbaric death. These are all obstacles. These are all arguments that people have against Christianity. But one thing I do know is that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if I can't understand all of those other aspects which are important, I understand. Even more important is, but Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus has been raised again. Hallelujah. That's where my faith is. It's not in working out all the other stuff. It's in the fact that, well, Jesus came, said who he was, and God has raised him again from the dead. Hallelujah. You don't need to understand the rest. You just need to believe who Jesus said he was. Amen? You see, you cannot be a Christian if you doubt that truth of the resurrection. Everything centers around the resurrection. Number two, you know what's coming up. The resurrection proves death has been defeated. This is glorious. Death is one of those things which is feared by men and women more than anything else. And there's just absolutely nothing we can do about it. You see, we were originally created to live forever. Death was never part of God's plan. But when sin came into the world, the consequence was death. Firstly, spiritual death and separation, followed quickly by physical death and separation. God had created us to live forever, but sin came in and brought death and decay. Everyone and everything eventually submits to the power, the spirit of death. In our age, we are delaying the inevitable more than ever before. And people are living longer than ever before. But death still eventually takes everyone captive. But the good news is, he defeated death. Hallelujah. The grave couldn't hold him. There was a higher power at work. There's an old hymn, probably not sung for 20 years, but one of the verses says, death could not hold its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus overcame death. He wasn't the first to rise again, but he was the first to rise and never to die again. He completely overcame death, and he's alive forevermore. And one day, he's coming back to this earth as a man and as a king. And all who believe in him, all those who've died and those who are still alive, will be raised to be with him forever. Isn't this incredible news? Jesus overcame death at Calvary. How do I know we're going to be raised? Because Jesus has already been raised. This is what Paul says about death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Isn't this an amazing gospel? So for the Christian, death is not something to be feared. I hope when my day of departing draws near, rather than fear and worry, that I will be at complete peace knowing my sins are forgiven and I'm going to be one day with the Lord forever. And when I wake up from this death sleep, which it is for a Christian, it's just going to sleep, it will be in the presence of my Lord and my Saviour. And as I said, and when he returns, I'm going to join with him in the air and come and live on this earth with him. You see, oh, this is just brilliant. I just wanted to say, I just had to extend this thing about death. You see, I believe in healing. I believe Jesus died to free us from sickness. But for the Christian, if we don't see every cancer healed, if we don't see every sickness healed, for the Christian, if they die, it's not the end. For the Christian, they've just gone to sleep. So I pray for healing now, and I expect to see the power of God released and people healed. But when we don't see that, we still have the victory, because even if we die now, we're going to be raised again and be together with him forever, because death has been totally defeated by the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 We can't lose eternal life here or eternal life there. Whatever happens, we will be with him forever. Number three, the resurrection proves his death was sufficient for our salvation. How do I know our salvation can be assured? Because because God raised him up again. He died for our sins. We read last week about darkness coming. Sean reminded us, you know, at midday, darkness came upon the earth. And for 3 hours, while Jesus was on that cross, he became sin. It wasn't just our sin was placed on him. He became sin. Every rape, every murder, all our unfaithfulness and greed, all our immorality and lust, our rebellion, our hatred, our pride, our bad speech. He didn't just bear it all. It became part of him. Can you imagine that? And God had to turn his face away. And as he turned his face away, darkness and separation for Jesus, he paid the price for us, came upon him. And for 3 hours, he carried the weight of our sin. Like Dan says, I don't know why that's called Good Friday. Well, it's good for us, but it wasn't for him. And that's past. 3 days later, might have been a Thursday, by the way, but we won't go into that. 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead. And we read about that. And maybe two angels. And there was the earthquake. And there was the empty grave. And there were the grave clothes. And they remembered and believed. He was alive. The problem with sin and separation had been dealt with. Jesus took it all on his body on that cross, that we might be restored and reconciled to God. And how would I know if just after that terrible darkness and death, they just put his body in the grave and it remained there? I would have no conviction and assurance that that sacrifice was acceptable to God. But how do I know my sins are forgiven? How do I know the salvation here? Because the grave was empty. The grave was empty. God raised him up again and seated him at that place of power. It's about sin being defeated. It's about sickness being defeated. It's about death being defeated. And we can be reconciled to him. This was the disciples' experience. They understood the Easter message. They weren't expecting it. And then they began to realize all that he'd been saying was so true. And as I close, I just want you to think about this, because Easter, it's turning things around. Easter is about hope and life. It's about dreams being restored. Their dreams were shattered, but now they began to believe again. It's about death giving way to life. It's about hope replacing sadness. It's about light shining in darkness. Good Friday is dark, but Easter Day was coming. It's about good times replacing bad times. It's about defeat being swallowed up in victory. This is what the disciples began to experience as Jesus was died and was raised again for us on the cross. So as I close, I just want to remind you, Jesus died to give us life. It's available to everybody now. And his promise of life, as I've already said, it's not just for when we die. His promise is for abundant, purposeful life now. Full of purpose, full of joy. It doesn't mean that we're not going to go through tough times. It doesn't mean we're not going to face challenges and difficulties. But whatever challenges we face, because he's been raised again, we know that there's a power available to us. And we know that one day we will be with him forever. And I want to invite you and encourage you as Christians here today to come back to him. Let him fill you, if you like, with the joy of Easter. Let his life and joy become your life and joy. With whatever you're facing, draw on that spirit, that life, that power which is available because Jesus was raised from the dead. We were praying earlier on, I think John prayed, you know, that same power that raised him from the dead is available in us. And if you've not given your life to the Lord, there is opportunity today that you can know with assurance that Jesus died, Jesus for your sins, Jesus was buried, and Jesus has been raised again. And eternal life can be yours. And it's not like, oh, I've got to go to church, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. No, you've just got to believe. You've just got to believe. And as you put your trust in that, in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and you allow him to come into your life, everything changes. Everything changes. It takes a lifetime to work it out, but everything changes. And you've moved from darkness to light, and salvation is assured because of what Jesus has done. Thank God for Easter, but thank God for Jesus. Amen.